Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
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 We did it.
There we go. We're back. Hello, everybody. I'm Max. This is Marty, Alana, and Brian, and we just got to see the reveal of not one, but two new PlayStations, basically.
Yeah.
That we totally didn't know about ahead of time. We had nothing to go on at all.
Nothing at all. I'm going to be honest. Our predictions were pretty solid. Well, yeah. One of our predictions.
I was way off.
Yeah.
I predicted that the PS4 Pro would be at least $500 and that it wouldn't be out till next year. So I'm just going to leave.
I was with you on those.
Because I'm bad at my job. Well, we're gonna get out of here.
So you want to just start off at the top with what's happening to the current PS4?
Yeah.
It's the Slim is coming up, but it's not called the Slim.
Right.
It's just what the PS4 is.
It's a replacement, I think.
Yeah, totally. It's just a three-year-in sort of hardware refresh like...
It's sort of what we said at the top of the show. It's kind of like the way Apple names products where they just go, here's an iPad.
Yeah.
You don't have to put a
PlayStation
number next
4
to it.
Series 1, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So it's $299. It's coming out September 15th. And then it's going to be that model, as well as every PS4, is going to be HDR compatible via a firmware update next week.
Which seems crazy.
I don't understand.
I love how we were all just speculating about, like, 4K support and like resolution stuff and VR interactivity and stuff, and they're like, hey, surprise everybody, HDR.
Yeah.
Like, I think we know what that is, sort of.
I mean, I feel like you're the only one of us who's seen this with Forza, right?
Yeah.
Where when you saw it running in 4K?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
But everything that we saw on the stream, I couldn't dramatically tell the differences.
Yeah, this was kind of an Emperor's New Clothes situation because they were telling us, like, here's all the crazy new stuff we're seeing, but you're probably streaming this at home on not a great connection at 4K.
And most of us don't. None of us have 4K TVs. We have one in the office.
Yeah, if you're streaming this over your laptop or on your phone, like, you're totally missing everything in there. I mean, I think when they showed, the closest I've come to really understanding what 4K can do for gaming is when you saw that shot of Spider-Man's face.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, like, I can see fabric details that are different than anything I've ever seen in a game. How well that will play out when he's flying around, hopefully in 60 frames per second in open world New York City, I think that'll be the least of my concerns. But it's cool to know that that's where gaming is going.
Yeah.
I think it's also really important to note that they straight up said, like, this is not the start of a new generation. Mm-hmm. All of this is under the same umbrella of the current gen. We thought we'd be moving in a sort of, like, shorter life cycles, 4 generations. That's not happening at all.
I mean, it's kind of just like when some games are like, hey, we've got a high-res texture pack. If you want to download it, you can download it. But now there's this kind of more
technical
support.
It's just sort of like graphic settings on a PC game. Yeah. If you want to play it on Ultra or on Great. So, yeah, that brings us to the PlayStation 4 Pro. It's not called the Neo, called the 4K, which I think totally makes sense for a name. The big things they're touching on is 4K and HDR. Coming out, what is it, November 10th?
$399.
Can I pre-order it right now?
Crazy to me. $399 is so much
cheaper. I'm going to try to pre-order it right now.
Yeah.
All right.
The $100 difference is really surprising to me, honestly.
Totally. But at the same time, they didn't actually talk about hardware specs, so we don't really know what the thing is.
Yeah, all we know is a one terabyte hard drive, which doesn't seem huge.
No, that's not crazy. One thing we do know about the new PlayStation, the Slim, whatever, we're going to keep calling it that, it's apparently a lot easier to swap out the hard drive.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Easier to get to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think they understand that a lot of people are going to be doing that. Unclear about what the options are there for the Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the PS4 launched, one of our most popular articles and video series here at IGN was teaching people how to swap out their hard drive.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of ways to do that, and some of them are prettier than others. There's a lot of external hard drives you can use, but if you got a launch PS4 like I did, you're probably bumping up against the walls of that thing constantly. Deleting stuff or moving stuff around the fridge, as Reggie used to call it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, considering that, you know, the Pro is going to be, you're going to be basically doubling the resolution of textures.
Yeah.
I think that's going to go really fast.
Yeah. It's the same problem, just on a bigger scale, obviously. So this pricing is great, though.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for that. I mean,
yeah.
So we see the major difference in both these consoles physically is the little stand at the bottom?
Yeah, yeah. I was saying it looks like a Gonk Droid. It's got like a little foot down there. I don't know if that's just a presentational thing, too. It's also, the PS4 controller can now stand on its own.
Wow. Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah.
It does look the same to me, though. The controller doesn't seem to be updated.
Well, so there were rumors that when this new redesigned PS4 was going to come out, that the controller, one of the main differences was that it had a light bar on the front of the controller.
The other big thing is it's got basically no latency if you're plugging it in, which is a big deal for people who do, like, you know, fighting games.
Yeah, totally.
My big concern would obviously be the sticks, because we've seen a lot of wear and tear. It hasn't really personally happened to me, but a lot of people on the DualShock right now, it just falls apart. Like, there's that rubber tip on the top. It's kind of ugly looking, so hopefully that's something they can fix.
I don't like when you say
rubber tip.
There are
covers for that as well.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fine.
And one of the things that they... One of the things that they spoke about was making it very easy for you to transfer your save files.
Yeah.
So they didn't totally touch on what that meant exactly, or how they're going to do that, but I'm guessing cloud saves.
Yeah, or it's something like, it's sort of like when you get a new phone, you go to Apple and you're not really worried about the fact, you're like, all your pictures are going to be there, all your contacts are going to be there, everything's fine.
Yeah, it's just a new ghost in the shell, basically. I think that's a big concern, because if you're looking at
why did you start talking about Ghost in the Shell?
It's moving one thing from one vessel to another. If you're looking at... Okay.
Welcome to Anime Club.
Yeah, welcome to Anime Club.
Anime.
The idea of being there on day one and getting all my game saves carried over so I don't have to replay something like... If you like got Platinums or you unlocked or found every treasure on Uncharted 4, doing that all over again is kind of tedious.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I mean, the thing they called it is forward compatibility, which I think is, it's initially I was like, that's such gross corporate marketing speak, but it's also, when you kind of stop and think about it, it really makes sense. Yeah. This isn't a new console generation, it's an upgrade.
And what we've been talking about is, one of the biggest things is, how do you market this? Like, how do you ensure that if you bought a PS4 3 years ago at launch, that you're still going to be fine? You could still use that PS4, still play all the games. And I think this is the way of sort of making it inclusive. And being like, we're not giving you new features. Like, these aren't new features. It's not like, oh, Spider-Man's going to have an extra level if you are playing on a pro. It is just like, you are going to get the added bonus of it looking better.
Yeah, I think if you have a launch PS4, you watch this stream today going like, okay, cool, I'm kind of on the fence on these things. I'm going to stick with my system. But here's all these new areas of all these new games that are coming out that look awesome that'll work on my PS4. If you're someone like me that like kind of wants the best new stuff, then... you're going to look at today and go, okay, well, I have now two options of the Slim, which is just a PS4, or the PS4 Pro. And that's a cool thing that, like, you walk into a Best Buy and you're a consumer this fall, and you go, okay, I want a PS4. And they upsell you on the better one. It's pretty simple.
I don't know. I'm a little weirded out by the fact that, so September 15th, we're going to have the redesigned PS4. A month later, on October 13th, we're going to have PSVR.
Yep.
And then a month later, we're going, on November 10th, we're going to have the $400 PS4 Pro.
Yes.
At a point when you've already spent $400 or $500 on a PSVR, do you want to spend another equivalent of that on a new console?
And that was the thing. There wasn't a lot of conversation today about how all those will work with each other, what they'll benefit from. Yeah. I think the weird thing, too, is that a year from now, Microsoft's coming out with a console that's more powerful than anything they showed today.
Yeah,
hypothetically, absolutely. Right? So that means that, like, the console war is starting all over again. But if you're buying the best, most powerful PlayStation this fall, you're not technically future-proofing yourself for third-party games, because in a year, games will look better. Like Battlefront 2 or whatever will look better on the next Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's really interesting. And it was one thing having someone like Mark Cerny come out and sort of walk us through this in his Cerny way. Mm-hmm. I mean, the dude, he's one of those smartest guys in the room kind of guys. He made Marble Madness. And
he's so soothing.
He's very soothing.
Very soothing.
And then saying that they've doubled the power of the GPU for the PS4 Pro. But again, that's like we were talking about with Microsoft at E3 when they're like 6 teraflops. I'm like,
well, I feel like this is too soon, and it's supposed to sort of like cart before the horse with 4K TVs in the same way they tried to do 3D TVs a while back. And I don't know if consumers are ready to drop $2,000 on a TV and $400 on a PS4 just to play marginally upgraded versions of games they have already.
Yeah.
So that was the thing. Like, there wasn't enough today that really made me go, and I'll get it anyway because I'm a sucker, but there wasn't enough today that makes me go, okay, the average person is really going to want to go out and drop $2,500 on new tech to play a bunch of games that aren't even out yet.
Yeah.
And maybe, like, you know, some games that they have already.
I'm also, they mentioned that by the end of November, or by the end of the year, that Netflix is going to be able to stream in 4K shows like Narcos and Luke Cage, which is cool, but... like, what is that going to do to data caps on your internet? Like, what is streaming a 4K?
Yeah. That's another conversation.
Like, streaming a 4K season of a show?
It's also like the two shows they showed are like just mostly just people walking around
in a city.
In a city. Yeah. Like, it's not like you're watching like an
Pixar.
HD. Yeah, a Pixar movie or something like that. Like, I think there would have been better graphical showcases for something like that rather than just like, oh, here's a guy walking around his apartment.
I feel like the idea with that was that not a whole lot of shows are going to be 4K compatible. Mm-hmm. So they showed the ones that are most popular, I guess. Obviously, Narcos is huge. So.
Yeah. I mean, I remember hearing a few years back that Netflix was shooting everything in 4K, future-proofing all original content.
It's called forward compatibility.
Right? Yeah. So, exactly. Which I think, I mean, we laugh at that word, but I think it's a phrase that gamers understand.
You spell the forward with a four in the compatibility case.
Oh, no, don't do that.
I don't like it.
That was really bad. I kind of like it.
One of the things that I have to question is, like, with the PS4 Slim being called the PS4 and then the original PS4 and then the PS4 Pro, I always just think about, because I worked in games retail for like 5 years,
right?
What parents are going to make of this?
Yeah,
they go to buy little Timmy a PS4 for Christmas, and they walk into a store and are like, which one of these is for
me? Was it like answering people's questions about the Nintendo DS line back then, right? I mean, I think that's the same problem they're having
here. Yeah, that was totally tough,
But the fact that they're sort of retiring the launch PS4, moving that aside, and now you have just the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 4 Pro, I don't think it's too confusing. I think where it gets confusing is selling customers a console that they might not necessarily have any use for. If you bring a Pro home and you don't have a 4K TV, like, you're not really getting the best of what that's
kind of why calling it the Pro is almost like nice marketing.
Yeah.
It's like, this is literally for people who take this very seriously.
Well, it's also still got a bigger hard drive. You know, end of the day, even if people don't really necessarily know what it means, if they are people who just like to have the best thing, you know, it's like, you've got that. I think also having this just right on the tail end of an Apple event, I don't know if that was intentional, but it seems pretty smart, because you've got everybody on the internet talking about, like, oh, it's the 7 and the 7 Plus, and you're like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that,
that's
what?
That's a very good parallel.
And so if you're just like, I think that being like PlayStation Pro, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, that's true. That's very good.
Yeah, it's weird, because we've been watching press conferences for years now at IGN, and I think one of the things that Microsoft got a lot of flack for was being sort of too all-in on like sports and multimedia and stuff like
TV.
That. TV. But I think today... yeah, exactly. I think today I would have actually wanted a little more of that from Sony, because showing me two Netflix shows and a couple of games is okay, but like, what else am I going to use this thing for?
Yeah, you know? Sort of lopsided.
The them showing it off was their montage of games that started with Spider-Man, and Spider-Man looked awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it looked incredible, but I was also like, when they showed Rise of the Tomb Raider, I was like, this looks really good. This is also how I remember it looking last year on my Xbox One.
We were talking about this the other day with Rare Replay, actually, where you play Banjo-Tooie or Banjo-Kazooie on that, and you're like, oh, this looks the way that I remember it looking. Yeah. And you don't realize how bad the previous one looked until you go back and play it. Yeah. So that's the exact problem. It's like, if they show them side by side, which they're not going to do, it makes the PS4 look awful. So they don't want to do that, but then they show the new version without anything else, and you're like, well, that's the way I remember it anyway.
Yeah, you guys pointed that out during the stream. I thought that was really interesting that they never really showed anything directly side by side, because I think it immediately alienates the 50 million people that have a PS4.
Exactly. Yeah. That's so ugly.
So it's kind of weird to not be able to show off how powerful and how great your thing is, because you don't want to piss off the people that have been supporting you for years.
It also makes the Slim look bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I did like the fact that they showcased upcoming games, obviously, like Horizon and Spider-Man and Days Gone, but
Horizon
they also, I mean, the games look awesome. That's the thing, is like, seeing Horizon, I was more excited just about Horizon than where I'm going to play it on.
Yeah.
But then they also showed Infamous and they showed Uncharted, and it's like, oh, these games that we've already paid for.
Right, but they were also emphasizing HDR. I think that's kind of the nice consolation prize, where they're like, hey, you know, the upscale textures and stuff that you're going to get with the Pro, that's fine, but like, in this case, they're like, hey, everybody gets this.
Yeah.
You know, this is an update that's coming for everything, and it's, you know, again, they're showing some sizzle of their games that are out already. Like, people are probably going to be like, it could be one of those things where you just, I don't know, you get that HDR update, and you go back and you replay a game you haven't played, or you pick up a game that you were on the fence about. Yeah. Like, I bet it's going to look gorgeous, because, you know, it's marketing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also worth noting, you know, they had this big special event for this, but there's also Paris Games Week coming up, there's Tokyo Game Show, there's PSX.
Which hasn't been announced, but we assume is going to be.
Yeah, we thought it would be announced today, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, that was a swing and a miss. What did you guys think of the biggest gameplay chunk we saw was Mass Effect?
Yeah.
Which is sort of the first extended gameplay demo we've seen of it. And obviously you guys are bigger Mass Effect fans than I am. What do you guys think?
I mean, the environment looks gorgeous. Like, the thing is with game demos in general, and I was commenting on this before during the stream, they're always so slow. They're like painfully slow to the way that no one actually plays games like that.
Yeah.
And I understand that the artists and designers who made this level, they want you to take it all in. But like, I'm gonna get through this section in 4 seconds when I play this game.
Yeah. It looks like a Dead Space Tron.
It does, yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
Which is very fancy.
I mean, this is also like none of the stuff that appealed to me about Mass Effect.
Right.
Like, I would love to see something.
I want aliens. I want Citadel.
Combat.
Let me see like some kind of like, show me a crowd, you know?
I think it's a pretty cool friend.
Also,
check out this cool plan.
This is, I think, the first Mass Effect that's running on Frostbite. And so far, the only BioWare game we've seen on that is Dragon Age Inquisition, which had like that was a pretty big gap between those you know, Dragon Age 2 and Inquisition.
Yeah.
So this is, for all intents and purposes, kind of a Mass Effect reboot, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. It looks almost more cartoony.
Yeah, I think this is such a small slice of what ultimately the game
is. I think this looks beautiful, and I'm very excited about Mass Effect, and this didn't make me any less excited. It's just that the stuff that I want to see at this point is weird alien races.
Well,
more narrative-focused stuff, but this definitely doesn't look bad. I think it'll still be awesome.
Yeah, I just think it was also tough, this coming on the heels of the Horizon demo, which I thought was just awesome. Like, we were just watching this.
That
was
beautiful.
You see that robot Brontosaurus? You can climb that.
Especially with the color as well. Like, it's hard to compete with that.
Yeah, I feel like that demo totally stole the show today. I mean, easily my most anticipated game on across any system right now.
I mean, since since it was revealed.
That and Zelda.
And the fact that we might be getting those in the same season.
And they're weirdly similar, actually.
Yeah.
This is a stunning looking game, and the more we see from it environment-wise, especially traversal-wise, it's really cool. Like, I didn't know there were, like, zip lines and stuff down.
You reckon she got a really bad rope burn?
Oh, yeah.
That was probably her.
I feel like her hands be real messed up.
I was really worried because the demo we've seen up until now has been very, very flat, but this is entirely about verticality.
Totally.
Yeah, that's true.
I was kind of worried that the environments would be all too much the same, and I still would love to see something that shows sort of a different climate. But
we have seen like pods that are behind locked doors. Like, I feel like they're like vaults, like Lost kind of stuff.
Yeah, Lost.
Sounds so cool.
Yeah, Marty likes Lost. But I'm expecting to see quite a bit of variety. I think this game just looks
It's the Horizon's currently the Game Informer cover story, and in there, sizzle reel, they did showcase some snowy environments and stuff like that. So the game looks so good though. And the game plays really good too. It plays like it doesn't reinvent the wheel, but it doesn't need to, because it plays a little bit like Arkham, a little bit like Shadow of Mordor.
Yep.
You have sort of Shadow of the Colossus-esque climbing here.
It's got some Tomb Raider crafting system.
Yeah, totally. Like, but then you get to the top and you hack the dino.
Yeah.
Which I think is real cool. I'm going to get a tattoo that says hack the dino.
Okay. That's fine.
Across your face.
I think this looks awesome, but all it did was really sell me on this game more. It didn't sell me on a new console, you know?
Sure.
It's like, man, I still just really want this game.
Yeah, which is sort of, I mean, that's who we are. Like,
that's a very good point.
We like games first and foremost. Like, tech doesn't really, I mean, that's sort of why if we cared that much about tech, we'd have giant PC rigs.
We would be tech editors.
Yeah, totally. To me, like, gameplay is the most important thing in the world when it comes to a video game. I mean, that and probably art direction, number two.
Yeah.
But
I feel like this nails both of those things.
Oh, totally.
I'm so happy that Guerrilla is able to do something that's not Killzone.
I was just
Killzone
gonna say,
had that, like, by the time Shadowfall rolled around, I was just like, I'm sort of sick of this world and sick of how this looks. And the fact that this game has colors.
It's so pretty. Look at it.
Yeah. Hack the dino.
Yeah, so what other games do you want to talk about?
Knack.
Yeah, Knack was there.
You want to talk about Knack?
Full force. Knack 2.
No.
Knack 2 the future.
No, Knack's next.
Yeah.
Knack's not coming back.
Days Gone. We got a little look at that in night mode.
Yeah. I think that's the kind of game you want to use 4K to show off too, because it's like, I want to see a billion characters on screen at the same time and how that looks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeing somebody walk down a hallway is one thing, but this is a gorgeous looking game.
Yeah. The lighting looks absolutely gorgeous. And like, as we saw, there were tons of men on that nice little staircase.
Yeah. I mean, we saw the demo of this at E3 where it was just kind of gunning down like piles and piles of zombies. And this was actually the game where they were like, let's see the difference between this with HDR and without. And I really was interested when it cuts to kind of the nighttime stuff in a minute from here, where he's like throwing a flare and it actually kind of, like, the brights are brighter and the darks are it's darker. Like, and
which is what HDR is, right? Yeah.
I think that's how fast the day-night cycle is in real life.
I hope not. See, and it's,
well,
like,
it's called Days Gone.
You can still
so
see that things are red. Like, you can still see those bombs are red. You can still see, like, the shades of the trees still look slightly green. It's not like everything just looks gray and black now.
Yeah, I think, which I think is awesome. Like, Metal Gear Solid 5 is one of the first games I've played where I really felt like the in-game lighting wasn't just, like, representative of like, a game mechanic. It was, like, a physical thing. Like, you actually had to think about, what, you know, were you visible? And, like, this seems like it's going to kind of do similar stuff.
Yeah.
Look at that. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah. That's such a cool weapon.
So, I went from pretty much not caring about this game to being kind of interested, because I've always wanted to set that many nasty men on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Big bottle.
Yeah. What if those weren't even zombies? What if those were just like
just real people?
They're just hanging out like,
yeah,
at a beach.
Yeah, it's a book group.
Yeah,
party reading in the dark.
Yeah, I've been.
It's HDR. I
think more optimistic about this game than you guys have since the jump. It's just it is another zombie game, and that's kind of disappointing. But also, like, you know, you can make a really good zombie game.
Sure.
And I think it's the kind of thing that every single time it gets made, I mean, a million first-person shooters come out every year, no one ever gets fatigued by them.
Well, my attitude towards that is always just prove to me that it is good, and I feel like Days Gone hasn't yet. It hasn't proven what's different about itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it looks like a million movies and TV shows I've seen more than other games. So it's like, I'm totally not ruling out that it could be awesome, it's just that it hasn't shown me what's awesome yet.
Yeah.
And that weapon, I think, is like a touch on that. It's like, if there's gonna be tons of creative weapons, but not in a like cheesy, arcadey, Dead Rising way, in a kind of more technical way, then I think that will be super impressive.
Yeah, if there's cool stuff they can do with the crafting system or in terms of weapon upgrades, like I was gushing about Resident Evil 4 to you guys yesterday and about how they don't make games like that anymore. There really haven't been a ton of games like that. So if this sort of scratches that itch in a weird way, I'm totally into it.
Yeah,
I'm kind of just expecting it to have a very good story, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's the one thing.
I am too, because you get a motorcycle. And motorcycles are really the backbone of good storytelling.
It's true.
I've always thought.
Easy rider.
Ride to hell.
Yeah. They're like a car with two wheels. It's very exciting.
Yep.
One of the other upcoming games that they showed off was For Honor. They showed off sort of what that game looks like running on a pro. And that's. Have we all played that? Well, you can't play it.
Yeah, I can't.
Why?
I have tendonitis in my wrist from playing too many video games, mm-hmm. and For Honor is just a lot of really jerky movement with your thumb, because that's how you basically block an attack. Mm-hmm. So it just, after about a minute of the combat, it just really, really hurts me.
That's weird.
I actually feel like because it hurts me so much, it's probably going to give other people who play it a lot tendonitis.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you screw your wrist up, basically.
Good. You can join the glove club with Alana.
Yep. I wear gloves all the time.
Yeah, I can't play this game because it appeals to me in no way whatsoever.
Also play it at E3 and just didn't enjoy it.
No, so yeah, seriously, like, I've seen this game 20 times now, and it's like, I don't know if I need to see it 22 to be like, yep, now I'm sold. Like, nothing new they've shown me has really taught me that this is a thing that I really want to play.
Yeah.
I have respect for the artists and the developers and the people making it. I have no personal interest in it whatsoever.
I've had fun playing it.
Yeah.
I'm more...
Did you play the multiplayer or the single player?
I've played the multiplayer. I haven't played the single. Well, I played multiplayer and then I've played one-on-one, sort of just duels.
Right. Because I think the single player, what I played of it at E3, despite the pain, was just a lot of walk two steps, fight a guy in the same way. Walk two steps, fight a guy. It was a lot like Rise, which, you know, didn't critically do well. But the multiplayer, I think, is a whole other thing with a different style of warriors and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I actually think, like, the one-on-one stuff appeals to me. I actually enjoyed Rise for being a launch game in the same way I enjoyed Knack, for all of its faults.
Yeah.
But the when you start fighting a crowd of people, that's when the game starts falling apart for me. So we'll see.
I mean, you could hit it off with people who like the, you know, MOBA type stuff.
Totally.
I think it rubs me the wrong way. It's supposed to be kind of anachronistic intentionally. It's a bunch of different cultures kind of crashing together. Mm-hmm. Like if, I don't know, Pangea got drunk and everyone got stuck in the same time frame. But like, it bugs me in the way that when I was younger, like kids would be like, I have my Lego set, but I've also got some cardboard cutouts I made and some Play-Doh. And I'm like, those don't go together.
Mm-hmm.
Pick one.
Aww,
go with that.
I feel like you're selling me on it.
All right.
Like,
well, have
you
fun.
Saying that is me being like, oh, it's so creative.
All right.
At least two kinds of warriors.
One of over two different kinds of warriors.
Dude, if you had friends that had cardboard toys, you had some sad friends.
Yeah, well, you know. One boy with the butterfly collection. Just a whole bunch of old turtles he found in the stream.
One of the things I think I was sort of surprised at was how little they talked about VR.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Like, we thought that... I think we said in the pre-show, we thought that, like, upwards, like a third or a half of the conference.
That thing is out in a month. Yeah. Like, I have it pre-ordered. Like, I'm going to keep that pre-order because I played Battlefront and it was awesome.
Yeah.
But, like, that's a 15-minute long experience.
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing with this thing next month?
I mean, the only thing they really showed us was that brief glimpse of Farpoint.
Yeah. And we've heard all those rumors about the PS4 Pro, once called the Neo, was basically this solution to that breakout box that the VR kit comes with, and it'll make all that easier and just run better. We didn't hear any of that conversation.
I think that's really smart.
Yeah.
I think
it's
really smart because especially on the heels of people who are maybe tuning in for the Apple keynote and maybe they're on a tech blog, they don't usually follow that, and then it follows up like, oh, there's new PlayStations coming out. If you do the thing where basically what Nintendo did with the Wii U, where you're like, here's this thing, it's a new thing, and it's sort of a step forward, if you try to make it seem like the PlayStation Pro is specifically designed for the VR, I feel like you're cannibalizing your own sales of the VR for regular PlayStation.
Yeah, I guess. To me, it seems almost impossible to have a company as big as Sony launching a product in 4 weeks and have a 30-minute press conference today and not barely mention it at all.
Yeah. It does seem
crazy. It seems very strange.
But at the same time, I think that PSVR has kind of already sold itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like you're probably the only one here who has a pre-order of it.
Yeah, so we totally sold the whole
room. I can't afford it. Like, it's like if I earned a little bit more money, maybe. But I really want one. And I feel like I don't think that having today have more PSVR would have just made me like, huh, that's really cool. That's a cherry on top.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's something that I already really want.
Yeah,
I just feel like they need to bring all their hardware together, like bring that whole family together. I think that's they talked about the PlayStation family for a while when they were sort of working on the Vita and the PS3 and then moving into the PS4 at the same time. And the connectivity that some of those things had was really cool. And we're not really seeing that conversation happen anymore. Like, we just know that PSVR is a thing that exists that you'll buy and you'll plug into your regular PS4 or your Slim maybe, but there was no talk of that.
Well, people know what a PlayStation 4 is.
Yes.
At this point, it's out there in the wild. People understand what it is. If you're like, this one is slightly larger, and this one's slightly smaller, and this one has a bigger hard drive, and it makes the things prettier, people are like, okay, I understand that. But VR is still an unknown quantity for so many people, so I think they're almost waiting for that to be out in the wild.
Well, and it's such a hard thing to show at a press conference.
Well, yeah, didn't they just very recently allow signups for Best Buy for
try it. You make a literal appointment.
So
you
get, that's kind of the push there.
Free conjunctivitis. It's
gonna
be great. What are your final thoughts on this event? This PlayStation meeting.
It wasn't what I expected. I think we saw a lot of pretty stuff, but we didn't really hear a lot of hard details about stuff, which I'm okay with. It's just not what I expected.
I think to build a commercial for the most hardcore users that you have in who actually like and enjoy your products, it was really good for them, but it was almost a little too high concept for me sometimes. Like, they got into the very granular details of the way lighting and game design and 4K and HDR works, and I'm just sitting there being like, is it pretty? Can I buy it? I can't.
Even then, they didn't talk about teraflops.
At least they didn't talk about the TS.
But I don't know how many flops it is.
We're moving into a weird generation where, or staying in the current generation, where you can't understand a PSVR until you put one on your head, and you can't understand how great 4K is until you see it running on a 4K TV.
Yeah.
So how do you sell this stuff?
Yeah.
It's,
you know?
It's true,
I mean, for me, what this did was it left me feeling the exact same way I felt after E3, which is, man, I'm really excited to play Spider-Man and Horizon.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Right back where I was.
Yeah, and whether it's on the PS4 I currently own and have owned since launch, or if I end up getting a Pro.
And I'm sitting there going like, all right, so I kind of want to replay Rise of the Tomb Raider on PS4, but do I want to play it on a Pro? Like, if I want to play that game again...
Also,
like,
are you going to buy a 4K TV?
That's the thing, right? That's a very expensive entry ticket, basically.
I feel like at a certain point, if this fall you buy a PSVR, a PS4 Pro, and a 4K TV, you are going to lose a wife.
Yeah, that's what's like $3,000 on stuff.
But they've got that cool VR game, Second Wife.
Just to go to Lara Croft's house? I could rent Lara Croft's mansion for a week for that kind of money.
I do want to say that I really like the way that both the consoles look, though.
Yeah.
I think they both look really cool.
We're going to have a lot more. Ryan McCaffrey is currently on the ground, so he'll have interviews, he'll have some hands-on impressions, he'll have
photos. Some cool pitches,
It'll be cool, and it's good, because, I mean, unlike us, he's got great eyesight, and his thumbs work, and it's, you know, he's gonna get in there and play all the games.
The four of us combined...
He's not a rube like that man over there who pre-orders everything live on a live stream.
The four of us combined is one healthy adult.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.